Have you ever had happen to you what happens to most people? And had your plans change? Never? You lie. I think everyone experiences change of plans at some time or other. And I was thinking, Sierra, you were in Israel on October 7th, weren't you? Yeah. Wow. How did that change your plans? Just a little bit. Yeah, that was a surprise, but it did change. And you had to come home early or made adjustments anyhow. And plans do change. And I think probably all of us, not so extreme at times, but it's frustrating, isn't it? I had this all lined out. I knew what I was going to do. I knew where I was going to go. I had plans. But the plans change. Would you think that a person who is inspired by God to write Scripture, the Word of God, and had plans, and he commits those things to the Lord, wouldn't you think that'll work? That'll work out. We might have prayed about things. We might have settled them. We figured they are set in concrete. Oops. Plans change. What do we do about it? Well, one thing is go through that frustrating time, but I think we can identify with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15. And we find out that the change of plans can be used of God, is used of God, but it's not something that is out of human experience, that just a few of us go through this. Pretty much everybody does. Pretty much. And we have to deal with the consequences of those plans being changed, and we have to deal with the idea that I thought this was God's will for me, and now things are different. I'd like for you to have your Bibles open, if you have them, to Romans chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 23 to the end of the chapter. And it may seem this is just ordinary letter to the people in the church at Rome, but God intends for us to learn from it. Verse 23, but now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and Paul is writing, so the I is the Apostle Paul, and since I have been longing for many years to see you in Rome, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this on the way, or this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Father, we come to your word, and it does sound like it's just a letter between friends, but I thank you that you also have application for us. And as we go through the scriptures, your Spirit is always there to teach us, to lead us in the truth. We pray that that ministry of the Spirit would be true in our situation here, for each one to have an open heart, open mind, to receive the things of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now, what we're going to do is what I did during the study for this. We're going to do three things. We're going to, first of all, see what the passage says. And we would say that's a period, that's what we do in observation. We just want to see what the passage says. Then we'll take a look at what does the passage mean. And we're not going to go in depth as much as we would in personal study, but what does the passage mean? That's the interpretation. And then what does it mean to me? The application. So those three things, observation, interpretation, and application. And what do we find when we read this in verses 23 through 26? The Apostle Paul wrote of his visits, or his plans to visit the church at Rome. And what does the text say? First of all, we see that he has been longing for many years to see them. He had a plan, and he wanted to execute his plan that included going to Spain. See, we just read that. We learn what his ambition was. I've been longing to see you for many years, and I plan to do so when I go to Spain. So he has this plan in his heart. We know that it's been going on for many years. And when we read the beginning of Romans chapter 1, we find out that he considered the will of God in this. In verse 10, it says that in my prayers at all times, I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. He'd committed it to God's will. He had sought God's will, and he had this plan then, thinking this is God's determination for me. In his mind, he had plotted the details. His goal was to make it to Spain. That was included in the Holy Roman Empire, and he could follow the roads that Rome had built. He had good transportation. It was safe. The Pax Romana, the peace that the Roman Empire enforced. And he had a purpose. And then his immediate purpose was to go to Jerusalem. So here's my plan. I plan to get to Spain on my way. I am going to go through Rome. I'm going to stop and see you guys. I haven't been there yet. I want to see you. I want to pass on a blessing to you, the blessing that God has endowed to me. And I want, first of all, to deliver a gift. I want to deliver a gift to Jerusalem. And we read that in verse 25. I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. So I went to a commentary, the Bible Exposition Commentary, and I'd like to just quote what was written there. Paul and his associates, this is just for your information, Paul and his associates had received a special offering from the Gentile churches in Greece for the suffering Jewish saints in Jerusalem. There were several purposes behind this special offering, so he wanted to get it there and have that first of all on his list. To begin with, it was an expression of love on the part of the Gentiles toward their Jewish brethren. Second, it meant practical relief at a time when the poor Jewish believers needed it the most. And thirdly, it helped to unite Jews and Gentiles in the church. It was a bond that brought them closer together. And in doing this, God was breaking down the wall so we wouldn't have a Gentile church and a Jewish church. We would have one body, Jews and Gentiles, making up the universal church, the church in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul had a spiritual lesson for them. If you have any questions, you can meet me at the back later. We're going right along here this morning. Paul had a spiritual lesson for the Roman church and all the Gentiles, all of us. In verse 25 through 29. And he says that the Jews or the Gentiles were indebted to the Jews. Now those Gentile believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. So where were these places? What churches is he especially pointing to in Macedonia? The Philippian church. And we read in Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 that the Philippian church gave out of their poverty. They gave not what they could afford, but they wanted to give to help the church in Jerusalem, and so they gave even beyond what they were able, what they would naturally give. And so in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 or 19, the Apostle Paul wrote to that church and said, "My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You have given up far beyond what you're able, but my God will supply your need." Who's going to take care of you? If you give it away, God will. God's going to supply all your need. And so they sent their money, the church that would be in Achaia would be the Corinthians, the Corinthian church. And so this less spiritual lesson that Paul had for the Gentiles says you owe the Jews because they shared with you their spiritual blessings. And so they owe it to, you owe it to the Jews to share with them your material blessings. We take that as information and a command ourselves. Remember Romans chapter 1, same letter, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, that Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." For whom? For the Jew first, and also for the Greek, or the Greek speaking, the Gentiles that were all out through the empire. But to the Jew first. We had Ryan Karp from Chosen People come and speak at church, and we picked up a portion of his support. What do we want to do? We want to bless the Jewish people, those that had preserved the scriptures all down from Moses and the five books of the Pentateuch. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, all the way from Moses through John. The Jews had preserved the Old Testament. They had copied it. They had written it. They had translated. Then that Old Testament had been translated into Greek so it could go out to the Greek-speaking people. And the Jews were responsible as the stewards and guardians of the scriptures. And then when the church started, where did it start? What city did it start in? Not Boise, that was wrong. It started in Jerusalem, didn't it? The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and filled 120 believers. And then what happened from there? Peter preached, and how many were saved that first day? 3,000. They had a church of 3,000. And then we get to Acts chapter 8, chapter 7. And one of the, we call them deacons, was stoned. Stephen was stoned. And the persecution of the church started. And what happened to the church in Jerusalem? It exploded, didn't it? Kaboom! Because it scattered out. It went out all over. And they carried the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ with them as they went. Those believers scattered out. And so the Jews were the beginning of the church, and they were the base. They were the first preachers of the church. Gentiles, you owe the Jews, Paul says here, your material blessing, because they gave you your spiritual blessing. You follow that? Got it? So Peter went to Cornelius, a Roman soldier, centurion. Philip went to Samaria, and you knew the Jews hated the Samaritans. But Philip went there, the church spread to Samaria. Paul went to the Gentiles. So what did Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 say? Jesus said, this is the way it's going to go. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. And all Judea. And in Samaria. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. The rest of the world. So Paul, as a Jew, a missionary, expected to share the blessing of Christ when he came to Rome. That's what he wanted to happen. I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I just have to run this errand first. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, run my errand, make sure it is handled carefully. You know, the people that gave that money were so concerned that it got there safely that they didn't just give it to Paul. They enlisted other people to go along with Paul. Not because they thought Paul might, you know, stay at a really nice hotel or something, but be sure that that money got there safely. Because even though there was the Roman peace, there were people along the way that might think that they needed it worse than the people in Jerusalem. Well, what did he do then in verse 30? He solicited their prayers for his errand to the Jerusalem saints. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Help me with your prayers. Paul speaks often of praying as a struggle in Colossians chapter 2. He writes about Epaphras struggling for the people at Colossae. And then he says that he has a great struggle himself, the Apostle Paul. He has a great struggle for those people in the church in Colossae. And he's praying for them. And so join him in his struggle. We learn in chapter 1 that at verse 10, in my prayers, God whom I serve, verse 9, with all my heart, in preaching the gospel of his Son, my eyes are being silly with me. God whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. He was always praying for the believers in Rome. And now he turns it around. Will you, who I've been praying for, will you please pray for me? Will you struggle with me? It'll be a burden to you because prayer is difficult. Prayer is a battle. Prayer is a struggle. Will you enter that with me? So he knew he was going to face some opposition when he arrived in Jerusalem. That was just part of the job. He knew he would face opposition. And so he requested this prayer. What were the two things he requested? Join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. Did Paul ever have a problem in Jerusalem? About got torn apart. They're going to beat him. They're going to stone him at one time. He was in danger. He knew what the danger was. He had been stoned before. Not in Jerusalem, but in Lystra. And so he knew what this was like. He knew that he was facing a tough time. So please pray. He's not showing a lack of faith. He's just saying, I know what situation could be there. So pray for me. The Mausers know that going back to Togo, there's a possibility of dangerous situations, isn't there? How did you feel when you got an alert of some radicals coming around your area? Did it make your heart beat? Yeah. And it's, we're in God's hands. What are we going to do? Let's pray. We're in God's hands. He also asked that his service would be acceptable to the saints. I can't imagine having a group of Christians that are really in poverty. They're destitute. And that's the situation that the Christian Jews found in Jerusalem. They found themselves in poverty. They couldn't get their resources. Having the resources come say, no thank you. It's from Gentiles. I don't want it. I don't think so. But he's still praying that it be acceptable to the Jewish saints. And he was also expecting then in this passage that he would finally get to experience his heart's desire. Wow. I'm pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. Did God give Paul the desire of his heart? Well, like this. He did. He got to Jerusalem, and eventually he got to Rome. Was it the way he expected? That's where. No. No, because when he got to Jerusalem, there was a little bit of time, but he ended up being arrested. And then there were years of confinement under the Roman governors. One governor kept him confined in order to please the Jews. Wow, it went on for a couple of years after that. He was to be brought to Jerusalem in order to be put on trial. And he said, I've already stood before Caesar's court, and you want me to go and have the Jews try me again under their authorities? And you want me to travel when there was a time that 40 Jewish men said, we're not going to eat until Paul's dead. It would be dangerous to make that trip. Said, no, I appeal to Caesar. Okay, you appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go. And how did he go? By ship. And what did that ship do? Wrecked. Shipwreck. Now Paul was back here. We're reading in Romans. I'm looking forward to getting a trip to Rome. And I'm going to visit with you. And then I'm going to go on to Spain. Okay, Paul, your plans are being changed. Things are not going to go. You are going to get the desire of your heart to meet with the Christians in Rome, but not in the circumstances that you dream of. It's going to be different. What's the application for us? Like the apostle, we make plans with the best information we have. We make plans, but we go on what we can know. We don't know everything. We have good intentions, and we want to refresh someone. We want to visit with family. We want to go see friends. We want to go to a park, a state national park or something, and be refreshed ourselves. We have these plans, and we're going to do it, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to go to a conference. We're going to be built up. We're going to hear some great speakers. We're going to do all this stuff. We have good intentions. But we are reminded there's three always that I'd like for you to think about. We are reminded to always be flexible. What does James 4:15 say? Now, I'm getting a run at it. Verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, this is instructions for us. You ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Be flexible. Always be flexible. Whatever God's will is, we would say, okay, something happened, my plans got changed. That wasn't God's will for me. Can we entrust our plans to the God who runs the universe, who sees a perspective of beginning and ending of time? Can we entrust to Him, the one who is all-powerful, the Creator, to do things right? Used to sing a song, How Big Is God? He's big enough to rule this mighty universe and small enough to live within my heart. Small enough to care about the details of this person, that person, that person's lives. Always be flexible. Paul had to be flexible in going to Rome. We are always ambassadors for Christ, no matter where we are. Plans got changed because the motorhome blew its engine in Ely or Elko or Winnemucca or in the middle of nowhere. Always ambassadors for Christ. God, what are you doing? What am I to do in this situation? Living as witnesses by the Spirit of God. And we are always trusting the Lord to fulfill His purpose. I may not understand. I may not know the end of a situation. You and I and take a step back and say, God has a purpose. Let's keep our eyes open, our hearts open, and see what God wants to do here. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works within you, both to will and to act according to His good purpose. God, I can commit my future, my plans to you. You will fulfill your purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. We can entrust, we can make plans. Entrust them to the Lord. Be flexible. Have in mind that we are missionaries. We are carrying the good news, ambassadors for Christ. Whatever happens, and always trusting God to fulfill His purpose. Plans may change, but we can entrust them to God. Let's pray. Father, we have a number of situations in the church here where plans have changed. Life has changed. We thank you that our lives are in your hands, and so you accomplish what you want in us, to us, and through us for your glory, and you do things in such a way that your purpose with eternity in view is fulfilled. Thank you for including us as partners in your eternal purposes. We give you the thanks, we give you the glory through the Lord Jesus Christ.